Fubony says lawyers cannot decline to proceed with cases simply because they fall within legal vacation. He told the Second Quadrennial Congress of the Senior Staff Association of the Judicial Service in Sunyang that a judge who is ready to sit cannot be stopped just because a counsel made personal arrangements. Lawyers, he added, can only take leave with their client's permission.
So when you say cases, you take only motions at it. It is in respect of cases that have been brought from outside, which you can't take substantively anyway. So as far as his cases are concerned, he has to do them. And that brings me to the second point, adjournments. So when he decides that he's adjourning his cases to the third time, to, I mean, to the foundation day by day or whatever, it is his diary that he looks at to agree with him whether. So why to achieve that, just to say that the cases should not be, I am not coming. I have already made arrangements outside, so I am not coming. You are a lawyer. You have your clients. If your clients decide to give you leave, well, go and leave. But you cannot say that there's a legal vacation and the judge who is actually sitting cannot do what he's known.
The Chief Justice also defended the establishment of special courts, saying reforms to handle corruption and illegal mining cases are facing resistance from politicians. He urged judicial staff to embrace change if the reforms are to succeed.
We are pursuing reforms designed to make the administration of justice more efficient, more accessible, and more responsive to the needs of the people. Special courts have been created. As usual, it has a lot of opposition from politicians who speak with different tongues when they are in power or when they are in opposition. Now, special courts have been created to take care of what we have been working, we have been hearing every year, fallout from the Auditor General's reports. We have special courts to deal with Galamsey, which is a national menace. And yet, instead of getting a pat on the shoulder, some members of the society think that these courts have been set up to get them. If you don't have any skeletons to hide in your cupboard, if you see anybody going to your cupboard, you don't get frightened.
Meanwhile, an Accra High Court has dismissed an application filed by lawyers for four accused persons standing trial with former NPA CEO Mustafa Abdul Hamid and seven others over alleged extortion in the petroleum sector. Member of our legal affairs desk, Fatal Bayaga, now joins me in studio with more on this case. Fatal, why did the court dismiss the letter?
Gemma, four of the lawyers representing Bright Bediako Mensah, CEO of Kell Logistics, and Kweku Abuaji Akwa, director of Kings Energy Limited, wrote a letter to the court and said that they are going out of the country. They had prior arrangements before the legal vacation, and for that reason, they wouldn't be able to come to court. This was a letter that they presented to the court. But in responding to this, the trial judge, Francis Achibonga, he said that he does not have the authority to adjourn the case to October until the CJ or the Chief Justice withdraws his warrant, ordering the judges to sit on these matters.
Mm. You've also been speaking with lead counsel for former NPA boss Mustafa Abdul Hamid. That's Joseph Pemka. What has he been telling you?
Gemma, he says that this particular directive or warrant by the Chief Justice is novel. I mean, he's not seen it before. And that during the legal vacation, mostly what happens is that motions or urgent interlocutory matters are ahead. So he was surprised to see this particular warrant from the CJ. We can take a listen to him.
Well, if you look at the Courts Act, particularly I think it is Section 79, thereabout. It gives him the discretion to take certain decisions for sittings of court, including weekends and holidays and etc. The problem I have, which I have stated without equivocation, is that you realize that there are only two specialized courts, and they are the only two courts that are sitting during the vacation to hear substantive trials. I think that one thing I've realized is a number of people are getting confused between the substantive hearings and motions. You know that during the holidays, judges do not normally deal with the substantive hearings. It is only motions. So the holiday judges sit to hear motions and urgent applications. But if you look at the two specialized courts, they are asked to do normal hearings that we do during the normal period that we are in court, as against the vacation. So if you ask me, it's novel.
You had lead counsel for former NPA boss Mustapha Abdulhamid, that's Joseph Bemka, ending that report by my colleague Fatao Bayaga. Let's now speak with the national president of the Ghana Law Society and Majority Chief Whip Roxanne Nelson Dafiamepo. Welcome to News Now Night. The Chief Justice says lawyers cannot refuse to proceed with cases simply because they are scheduled during the legal vacation. Do you agree with what the interpretation of the law, or do you believe the concerns raised by sections of the bar justified?
Absolutely. As lawyers, we are officers of the court. And so a lawyer whose services is required in court can't say that a court must not sit. In any case, I want us to situate this matter in some proper context. A lawyer is required in law to offer his services to his client for 24 hours around the clock throughout the year, for which you are paid. And that is why lawyers normally, regularly, will bill by the hour. So a lawyer whose services is not available 24 hours throughout the year, you are not supposed to take your client's case. That's the ethical standard. That's the ethical standard.
Hold on, please.
So lawyers occasionally are on retainer with some statutory bodies and companies. When you are on a retainer with a company, normally the agreement will be that your services are rendered or are required 24 hours, because the company can run into problems within 24 hours, around the clock, throughout the year. That's why you are paid a retainer. There's something we call retainer fees. So if you take a client's case, And you are saying that your services are not available between August and September in a certain year, you must make that clear to the client, for the client to be guided before your services are retained. In any case, legal vacation courts or courts operating during vacations during the year, especially during the long vacation from August to September, it's a long-standing tradition before I was born yesterday and before I became a lawyer yesterday. In fact, in the year 2000, vacation courts were held in this country and courts made a decision in matters that were before them 26 years ago. So I can give you the title of cases and the judges who sat in the year 2000 during the vacation to hear cases. In 2021, I can do that. 2002, I can do that. 2003, I can do that. In fact, if you remember, one of the famous cases that the court held in vacation and determined the case was the one against the Venerable Chachuchi Kata. You recall that the lawyer for Chachuchi Kata applied for leave to travel during the vacation. The court compelled him that if his lawyer is not available, he's a lawyer, he can cross-examine. You remember that famous phrase? So vacation courts are nothing strange in our legal practice.
But if now lawyers,
let me address.
I would have to come in here. Let me ask you this question: if lawyers would have to work around the clock throughout the legal year, what time do they have to balance work and their life? That is one point the GBA raised in the statements they issued.
First of all, let me tackle the GBA statement. GBA has no business responding to statements from non-members of the GBA. We are licensed by the GLC to practice as lawyers, and the GLC also licenses law firms. The petition in question is not coming from lawyers. It's coming from law firms. Check the petitions. It's not the lawyers who are complaining. It's the law firms. And the law firms, let me give you some
but
data.
It's an association that protects the interest of lawyers, not so.
Yes, so the law firms are not members of the GBA, are they? Are law firms that are complaining that their lawyers are not available, are they members of the GBA?
The lawyers are members of the GBA.
The lawyers are members of the GBA. So if you want to petition the CJ, petition on your terms as a lawyer. Don't petition on your letterhead as a firm. Then it is the firm that is sending the petition. Because the firms are separately licensed. The lawyers are separately licensed. So what is the GBA responding to? Is the GBA responding to petitions from its members? Or GBA is responding to petitions from entities that are not members of the GBA? Then let me address the issue, the substantive matter. If you take the firm of Sam Okudjeto, for instance, Sam Okudjeto has more than 20 lawyers listed on the record as members of its firm. If you take lawyer Atatian's firm, he has more than 15 lawyers listed on record as members of his law firm. How is it possible that none of these lawyers are able to work during the vacation? Because I have also practiced extensively before, and during the vacation, seniors can ask even senior associates of the firm to hold their brief in a matter that may have been listed to be continued during the vacation.
So what's your suspicion here?
My suspicion here is that there's nothing untoward in this matter. And so the GBA is just blowing hot air. And for me, it's pure politics. Because 2023 in this country, 12 courts were declared by the CJ as vacation courts. 12. The judge, one of the judges that is supposed to be a vacation judge during this vacation was one of the judges that sat during the 2023 vacation court. Where was the GBA?
When you say pure politics,
one of the law firms complaining, their senior partner or managing partner was then the attorney general. Where was he?
When you say pure politics, what exactly do you mean, and to what end?
Have you checked the language of the National Bar President of the GBA to the CJ? In any case, how would the National Bar President, the GBA President, be citing civil court rules to anchor a matter that is predominantly a criminal procedure issue? How is that tenable in law? You are citing civil court rules, CI 47 provision, to say that criminal assizes cannot be held. How is that even tenable?
We are grateful for your time. You heard National President of the Ghana Law Society and Majority Chief Whip, Roxin Nelson Dafiamepo. It's now time for business. George Wiafe is here with the latest in the world of business. George.
Well, Jim, coming up in business, we'll be telling you more about the fact that Ghana's export is now shifting and import is now shifting more towards the Asian region, according to new data coming from the Ghana Statistical Service. And Republic Bank is promising to provide a platform that would aid or help clients to own their own homes as it takes over as the leader sponsor of the Joy News Habitat Fair. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, Asia is overtaking Europe as the lead destination for the country's exports and imports, especially when it comes to the over the past 1 year. Now, this was captured in the latest merchandise trade report released by the Ghana Statistical Service. There is more in this report.
Europe over the years had been the lead destination for Ghana's exports. From 2024, it appears that trend changed. However, there is no clear reason for now what has resulted in Ghana's exports moving to the east. Data from the Ghana Statistical Service showed that Asia's share leaped from 7.9% to 50.1%, making it Ghana's largest export market. Africa rose early, peaking at 50.1% in 2010 before receding to 17.5% by 2025. The data showed that three commodities, gold, crude petroleum, and cocoa beans, anchored Ghana's exports. On the import side, items like electronics and petroleum products came up as top commodities of imports. The report also showed that after 14 years, Ghana has moved from posting deficit to trade surplus. It is also clear that gold accounted for majority of our export as a country.
And that is the Business Desk report. Meanwhile, government statistician Dr. Alhassan Idrisu has maintained that the development showed how the economy has been transformed over the past years to this new level.
Ghana's trade with the rest of the world grew ninefold, from $6 billion United States dollars to more than $52 billion United States dollars. That is not just a bigger number. It is more jobs, more income for families, and a stronger place for Ghana in the global economy. Why does this matter? Because trade is a major driver of our economy, and understanding it helps us build decent jobs, stronger industry, and progress towards the global goals we share with the world. These are not estimates. Every figure comes from the customs records of the Ghana Revenue, train goods as they cross our borders, and follows the United Nations standards for trade statistics. So the numbers are solid, and they can be compared with any country in the world. So what did we find? Three things stand out. First, for the most of these years, we bought more than we sold. In 2025, that turned around. We recorded our largest ever trade surplus of 148.3 billion Ghana cedis. Second, gold has become our giant, rising from 39 to 63% of our exports.
And that is government statistician Dr. Alhassan Idrisu. Let's still stay on this subject because economist Professor Peter Cortes says the shift to Asia in terms of our exports showed that the time has come for Ghana to also review its economic policy.
And once you're trading with a continent, you have to look at what options are there in terms of even banking. If people want to, if traders or importers or exporters want to engage more with Asia, how easy it is to transfer funds, how easy it is to import, how easy it is to engage in terms of transportation, air transport, sea transport, what are we doing to ensure that we facilitate trade? That should be the focus. And so we enable businesses who are engaging more with Asia to be able to the least risk and the least cost.
Economist Professor Peter Cortin. Our public bank has assured that its financial institution will provide the best of opportunity for acquiring homes in the country. Now, this is coming after the bank closed a deal with Multimedia Group to become the headline sponsor for the Joy News Habitat Fair. Now, speaking at the program to sign the deal, Managing Director of Republic Bank Ghana, Dr. Benjamin Jogoku, said that providing potential owners this best platform to access financial support in owning their homes would also be seen as critical for the financial institution.
They should be expecting flexibility. We are open. As I said, we just need to understand your situation and we can develop a tailor to meet your objectives. If your income is low, fortunately we have this national housing scheme with the government, and that is of low house income people. And therefore, I believe those segments of the economy or the population can also get mortgage, and then the middle income, and then the high end. So whatever level be your income, we are prepared to look at your circumstances and develop something to meet your objective. That is the reason why this Habitat Fair, it is important for everybody. If you are Ghanaian and you are dreaming of getting a home, come to this Habitat Fair.
And that is Managing Director of Republic Bank Ghana, Dr. Benjamin Jubuku, talking about how they'll provide potential homeowners with the best platform when it comes to having the financial support to own their own homes. Now, Secretary General of the International Chamber of Commerce, Ghana, Emmanuel Dene Kwame, is urging government to adopt the new custom documentation for clearing goods, as well as ratifying the Istanbul Convention. Now, he spoke at the International Chamber of Commerce, Ghana, CEO's breakfast meeting on the theme, Networking for Ghana within the 24-hour economy.
The ATA Kane brings on board international best practice for people to bring in equipment temporarily and then send it back. The current regime just allows for 90 days. If we have a proper CANE, a globally accepted CANE, that will allow people with an ATA CANE certificate to bring equipment in for, have a certificate for a year, to move their goods not only through Ghana, but through 90 countries. And you will have to roll out a program of that nature. We need to ratify the Istanbul Convention.
Secretary General of the International Chamber of Commerce, Ghana, Emmanuel Dene Kwame. And that's all for business on Newsnight. Back to you, Gemma.
Thank you very much, George. Now, former Special Prosecutor Martin Amidu has waded into the controversial Asante Bercon bribery saga with staggering revelation that he commenced investigation into the matter 6 years ago, contrary to fresh order on inquiry by the Attorney General. According to Martin Amidu, the OSP under his leadership in 2020, acting on the directive of then-President Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, began investigation into how he allegedly bribed some state officials in the AXA deal after the U.S. Security and Exchanges Commission cited him, leading to his resignation. In his latest epistle, Martin Amidu expressed shock at how the entire case went missing from cases under investigation at the OSP since his resignation. My colleague Michael Ashali joins me in studio with details of Mr. Amidu's statement. Michael, let's start with how this investigation started.
So we've heard a lot of things that have been said about this particular case. But Gemma, whilst we're trying to get to the specific details of this particular one, we know that this case was tried in the US and that quite a number of things was said with that. So we know that Martin Amidu used to be the former OSP who was in that particular office and has been also, at least he tells us that he knows quite a lot about this particular issue. What we have been trying to get is the list of the committee members who possibly also may have been in parliament, because we know that in that particular judgment, effectively, we're told that some people were supposed to have been paid or some people received some monies to travel as part of delegation to Turkey and to do some other committee sittings. We'll try to get you the specific, but I have just been sent the list of those people who were in committee and the committee at the time. We know that at the time the chairman of the committee would have been Honorable Sorogo Amadu Bukari, and also the ranking member at the time would have been Honorable Hammond Kobina Tahir, who was also deputized by Enin Edward. At the time, the vice chairman of that committee was Adam Mutawakilo, who was also now reason to become to occupy some other offices within the same space. But the entire committee would be on the NDC side, would have Nasser Mahama Ture, also Salifu Amin, and then Ajikum Kweju Emmanuel. And then on the minority side at the time, Edu William Reko, and then Yusuf Mustafa Aye, Benjamin Kofi, and also Kuje Joseph, who also became later became a regional minister.
Thank you very much, Michael Ashali. And Benaya is here with sports. Benaya, what's in sports?
All right, there's hearts of folk have been in the news. So they have withdrawn from the 2026 Galka Top 4 tournament, citing scheduling conflicts with the club's existing programs and preparations for the new league season. Now, in a statement released earlier today, the Ephobians said the tournament dates clash with previously agreed club programs. Now, the club also noted that the competition comes close to the start of the new season, which could affect their preparations and other commitments. Now, according to Galka chairman John Kofi Ansah, SC Samatex have replaced the Ephobians in the tournament following their withdrawal.
We were still talking and we're making sure that we confirm this that we put out there. And so, we waited to make sure that the 23rd is honored by House of Oak and Kotoko for the Democratic Cup. Unfortunately for us, when we have communicated to the other competitors that we're doing 26, where they have also programmed themselves towards that. You and I know that one of the clubs that is competing is not even having its presence in Ghana.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Yes.
And so when you are there, what do? You plan towards it. You can just not call you and say that let us play the game on 21st. We can do that.
Right. So that's the Galka chairman there, John Kofi Ansah.
Mm. I thank you very much, Vinaya, for bringing us the latest in sport. In other stories this evening, Ghana's plastic waste challenge continues to raise concerns over its impact on the environment and the country's already strained waste management systems. At the Joy News Imani African National Dialogue on Plastic Waste Management, experts, regulators and industry players examined the gaps in Ghana's approach to plastic waste management and discussed measures to improve accountability. The following report has more.
The proposed extended producer responsibility law is expected to replace Ghana's largely voluntary system with mandatory obligations for manufacturers. EPA's acting director of sustainability and circular economy, Larry Koto, says producers would also be required to prove that their plastic products are recyclable before they enter the market.
You cannot put any of said plastics once the law comes into effect, because you need to demonstrate that we can recycle your product. If you're not able to do so, you cannot put it on the market. Even if you look at our styrofoam ban options, we have the plastic reusable containers. People need to choose, but of course, some are more expensive than others. You pay more for plastic because that is what the policy is.
Deputy Director at the Ministry of Local Government, Godfred Fifi-Boidi, however, warns that some alternatives, including paper products with plastic lining, also pose recycling challenges.
The paper oftentimes is even more complex to recycle because the paper itself has plastic lining. A typical example is the paper towels, the big tissues we use in our kitchens. People think it's just paper, it's just tissue. It has plastic lining in it. And so that's why it can soak water and does not easily get torn. And so these are not alternatives you just simply switch to. You switch to based on the capacity you have.
Stakeholders say strong producer responsibility, effective enforcement of EPR and clear recycling standards are essential to reducing Ghana's plastic waste burden. For Joy News, Deborah and Mwa Bedu's report read to you.
Well, your home ownership is getting closer to you because the Republic Bank Joy News Habitat Fair is moving beyond Accra and Kumasi to other regions. This year, the Volta Regional Capital of Ho will, for the first time, host one of the mini clinics for this year's event. General Manager of Sales at Multimedia, Max Fuga, revealed this at the launch of this year's event in Accra.
We're taking the brand to where the potential home owners or home buyers are. And so we'll be doing one in Laboni, around the Palace Mall in Laboni. We'll be doing a second one at the airport, number one airport square. Again, we believe that people in those areas have housing needs, but they're not getting the right information. And so we are moving to the doorstep of a potential homeowner. And then we're going to do Hope, and then do the final one at La Palm Royal Beach Hotel somewhere in November, and then we go and do Kumasi for the Kumasi market. So it's getting bigger, it's getting exciting, and we're offering 360 solution for everything housing.
Well, it's now time for your say. The messages you've been sharing to our social media platforms, and Michael Ashali is in the studio with your say. Michael, what are people saying?
Well, Kenneth, our cherished listeners have been commenting virtually in almost all our stories for today. Letter from Ablekuma Central, where Nana Ikuemua Boateng says, what will Chief Justice lose if he allows lawyers to go on their legal vacation instead of ambulance trial? The question is, are these cases involving past appointees more crucial than those standing on murder trials? Our judiciary system is completely broken. This one from Michael Intribuesiakon in Abofu says, I can't get my head over the pageant of the Chief Justice to carry out an ambulance trial of opposition party members. Why the selectivity of justice? Are some cases more special than others? Well, Michael and Nana Kuma Boateng, are you staying in the same place? Also, this one here from Promise in Keta says, I am always confused sometimes if lawyers are addressing some of the issues and I don't know when I am going to be enrolled in law school in order to understand their language. But go to court. The law is the law. And this, I assume, is to Atachia and the others. And this one says, hi, Kenneth. So who at all in public office won't touch our public purse in corrupt ways? We Ghanaians who voted for NDC to power are happy with the way and speed our court system wants to deal with people who loot from our public purse. And if MPP comes to power, they should do same to NDC guys too. This is from Francis in Accra. And then this one from Charles in Lagos says, lawyer Tachina should tell Ghanaians whether he was part of the team of lawyers who went to court on a public holiday to injunct the 2008 election results or not. Well, maybe when we raise him, we'll ask him. This one says, this long colonial legal break must stop. It is prolonging some of our cases unnecessarily. This is from Nana in Spinters. And Kenneth, that brings us to the other side of the
I can't wait for it today.
Well, you are in the news today.
No, I'm not. I can't.
Maybe they can just play the sound.
Okay, let's listen to it.
Did it ever come to the attention of your client that there were people who were taking bribes in this deal?
Oh, come on. Let's be serious. Could you answer another serious person? No, don't be flippant about this matter. So we're dealing with serious matters. Please.
This is also a serious matter. This is a serious question that I'm asking you.
No, what do you mean by did it come to the attention that people were taking bribes? What are you taking for? Can you concentrate on the document that you have in front of you?
The voices sound very familiar. Who are they?
Well, that's the first person, the one who did ask the question was you, Kenneth.
Was it?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Apparently, you are not serious when you're on radio. So, the voice you heard, the second person was Katie Hammond. And we know he's the lawyer for the former power minister. Kwabena Donko. Mm-hmm. Well, Katie Hammond yesterday was on frenzy. He literally had to talk to almost every radio station or media house that wanted answers about the case that is ongoing, the Beko case. Mm. And we know that some ministers or some individuals, officials, were named in there. So he's the lawyer representing the former minister, and he's been going around talking to other people. And that was his encounter with you, where you asked a question and he thought that you weren't being serious. Can I take a serious person?
Oh, very serious. I mean, please. But I told him to. Michael, didn't you hear me tell him that I was serious with what I asked him?
Well, there are many other serious questions that other individuals ask. We can listen to another journalist's question to Katie Hammond yesterday.
Did he receive the $1 million?
Behave yourself. Are you cross-examining me? I've written a statement of the instructions of my client. You're asking me a question on it, and look at the question you're asking me. What a question to ask. Sorry, what's your name again? I'll make sure that I won't take your course again.
What?
What's your name? How can you? Is it professional to ask such a question? The amount that causes the nation, did your client take the money you're talking about? That's absolutely unfortunate. That's the language I can use. Very unfortunate question to ask.
Kenneth, so you heard that Katie Hammond again?
Right. I did.
I'm glad I wasn't in any of your shoes to face the almighty representative for the power minister. Very powerful responses, though.
We loved it. Thank you very much, Michael Ashali. That's it for Newsnight this evening. My name is Kenneth. Jesse.
My name is Gemma Apia.
Don't forget to do the two this evening. Brush your teeth day and night with Pepsodent. But after Newsnight, though, comes Geek Squad, and Adobia is in the studio. Adobia, what are we talking about this evening?
Hi, Kenneth. For some time now, we've been talking about the Road to Pan-African AI and Innovation Summit. And tonight, we are going to be talking about scaling local innovation. I mean, so many things are happening in our local space, but how best can we not just use them locally, but export as well? That's what we'll be talking about in the Africa's AI ecosystem. So our listeners should stay tuned.
They should definitely stay tuned.